Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Politics with your host, Jerry Williams.
Mr. Duff's accountant, Edward White, testified that he made the payment.
All right, so we are here on the show. Welcome, everyone, and we are going to get back to it. We just did a last show. I know it was pretty long, so we had a lot of audio clips to cover, is the reason why I wanted to continue the show. With the Amber Heard case, the defamation case with between her and her ex-husband, Johnny Depp, as we know that this is a circus, we know that it's the flying circus, if you want to call it. Today, they had an interesting witnesses on the stand, two doctors who really fell apart really quickly. And then they had this other person that was on the stand that was an expert for, well, she says she's an entertainment expert, you know. And the thing is that these people come on the stand, they're paid a lot of money through Amber Heard's team, by the way. The expert, she got paid $650 an hour. The two doctors, the one doctor got paid $5,000 for showing up there. And the other one, I believe he got paid like $1,000 per hour or something like that. I don't know exactly, but that's what they were getting. The whole key point of this is that these witnesses are getting paid a very handsomely amount of money from the Amber Heard lawyer team to come into the courtroom and put on a show with lies, by the way, with a lot of lies, and then do the circus, look at the jury, give them the act that they need, and then try to not get attacked by the cross-examination of Johnny Depp's lawyers. But I think it's funny because his lawyers – destroy these witnesses, man. I mean, they are ruthless when it comes to, you know, making sure that they don't, you know, swiggle away and try to get away from the questioning. I think it's great. And it should be. It should be like that because you have to do, you know, what these lawyers have to do, they have to determine to dissect the lies from Johnny Depp's side and Amber Heard's side. But we're finding that a lot of the, you know, dissection of lies is coming from the cross-examination of Johnny Depp's lawyers to Amber Heard's witnesses and Amber Heard herself. And it's really to the point where I'm wondering, I would love to know what the jury's thinking because, you know, they have to be thinking this is some crazy, crazy shit. Now, there is these people out here doing hashtag Team Amber, hashtag Johnny Depp, right? And so there's a new hashtag. It's called Amber Turd, which I love it because I think I would love to just consider to call her Amber Turd. That's what she is. She's a turd. And the reason why she's a turd is because she, anybody who shits on somebody's bed is really screwed up in the brain. I mean, really, they are. They have to have some kind of mental illness to do that. And unfortunately, I feel sorry that she needs to get help. But she is definitely coming out thinking that everybody would believe what she says and that she was going to go into this courtroom and just get it over with really quick and win. I think that's what she thinks in her brain is that she'll just get in there and win. But I think that's false. As a matter of fact, a news article came out just recently and said that they believe that what's going to happen here is that whoever wins this case is going to win with a large amount. I mean, even a really possibility of even larger than what they expected amount of money. This is from the news experts that believe that they know with like court TV and stuff like that, but they analyze this stuff, and that's what they believe. I believe that's what's going to happen that there's going to be a very serious amount awarded. It's going to be a big win for one of these sides. Now, me personally, I think it's going to be Johnny Depp. I think he's going to be the one that wins. The reason why I say that, I've been to a lot of court cases. I've seen a lot of court cases. As an ex-police officer, I've done interrogations. I have done, research with body language of people, had training in knowing how to detect lies through body training or body languages, excuse me. And I have even brought this up on the show in the last past couple weeks. So the key factor is what we need to be looking at with certain body languages, because they do have a lot of lies that are happening. A lot of it's on Amber Heard's side. Her witnesses are even, they get angry, they get upset, and they try to fight back with Johnny Depp's lawyers, which is really bad. When you start to get like that, that's a very indication you're stressed. And you're worried that you're going to lose what you're saying. In other words, a lot of times it's lies that are coming out, and they start getting stressed because they don't want to backtrack into those lies. Do you see what I'm saying? But then you look at the facial expressions, and you look at the body languages, and there are so we look for clusters, like clusters of three, clusters of five, within a matter of seconds to minutes. And these witnesses were showing like three clusters within a few seconds, which is bad. That means they're lying. And there's a lot of it happening here on Amber Heard's side. But the truth of the matter is, you could be team Johnny Depp, team Amber Heard, whatever you want to believe. And I'm not going to say either one of them are angels by no means. But the one thing I will say is that when you go into a courtroom and you lie or you don't know what to say or you try to backtrack and start becoming angry, the factors are you're going to lose. You're going to have issues. And it's not going to go the way you expected it. So that's why I brought this up. So without a doubt, we're going to play some audio clips from the court case today. And these audios are from a guy by the name of Osmond Gold. He's a YouTube personality who, what he does is he plays the videos or he watches it live and then he dissects it or he gives you a commentary of the truth behind it, right? So he kind of gives you a little bit of information, his wording and so forth. It's pretty cool. I like to listen to him because I think he has some – I just love his actions when he talks. And his reactions to these people, these idiots on the stand. So I'm going to play this audio clip. The first one I want to play is so they brought this expert in, so-called expert, to say that Amber Heard was losing money and that she lost all of her jobs because of these different things that happened due to social media, like hashtag Amber Turd, and all these other, social media outlets that are trying to be very negative of Amber Heard. Of course, Amber Heard is blaming Johnny Depp for this. But the truth of the matter is that Johnny Depp is not really 100% at the fault of this. I'm going to have to say that majority of the fault at this is Amber Heard. She brought out that letter, the Post, or the New York Times, that said that, the letter about him, Johnny Depp was abusing her and so forth. Well, she put it out in the public, okay? She even admitted to it. As I played on the show, we have her in her first day on the stand admitting to writing the letter. And so it's on there. She admits she wrote the letter. The truth of the matter is that Amber Heard, or Amber Turd, I want to call her, is having a lot of issues with this court thing. I think, and I truly believe that she knows, but if you look at her face, facial expressions or body language, she knows she's very much in trouble and that she's losing this case. And that's what she believes. She knows. Unfortunately, the woman is screwed up and she needs some help. And, it's going to get worse for her before it gets better, because they have only 4 hours left on their side to finish up. Johnny Depp has, on his side, has 15 hours left. And I believe they're going to put Johnny Depp on the stand tomorrow, I believe, or the next day. But they're trying to finish this up by this week and get it over with. Majority of the issue that they were having with the circus is Amber Heard's side bringing in all these different witnesses who did not make no sense, who had stupid shit to say, and it didn't help her case whatsoever. That's where they're at right now at this point. So they had two doctors on the stand today. One was a psychiatrist. One was one that handled the severed finger and stuff of Johnny Depp. And he really didn't know his testimony too good because he fumbled it up. And then you have this expert witness who is an expert in the entertainment business, all right, who predicts when entertainers are going to lose a lot, or puts it out there that, oh, the reason why they lost all their money or the reason why they're not getting jobs is because of this reason. So here's what she had to say, and this is Osmond Gold, once again, dissecting this whole thing here. It's really interesting. Take a listen to this, and then we'll come right back.
Your two hats.
Yeah.
Talking both about Mr. Depp's damages and about Ms. Heard's purported damages. Talk about Ms. Heard's damages first. Have to testify.
After the statements, it's very clear to make that correlation that they were caused by those statements and the campaign followed afterwards in terms of the negative social.
All right, that's an interesting. Actually, describe the notion of what's correlation and what's causing.
I'm not an expert in semantics.
Okay. But you're an expert who is purporting to say that Ms. Heard lost between $45 and $50 million. And I'm trying to understand where you put the link between the Waldman statements and all the other activity that occurred since then.
Yeah.
As I stated, and very clearly wanted to make sure that everybody understood the time frame between which the Waldman statements were made and the negative decline in her career started happening, and in discussions with her agents and her publicist, there was a very tight timeline and a very close link to when the statements came out and when everything started pulling away from Ms. Heard.
What you're talking about is just a link in time. You do not pause.
Campaign, as well as when the statistical and the investigative analysis was done on the social campaign, it turned out that 1 in 4 of the statements had Waldminian in them. So that was another connection that I was able to make between the defamatory statements and the negativity that the studios and the product endorsements and the television press connected as well.
All right, let's start with first principles. If they're true, they're not defamatory, correct?
Again, that's
No way. No way.
I don't.
No way.
Still, he looked at the form, right?
No.
That was Shell's analysis.
No, he's going to say it.
Right. 5% that you just raised.
Oh,
that's...
oh no.
Passion. Justice for Johnny Depp, right?
That's one of them, yes?
One of them... of the 1.2 million hits that you talked about, that was 900,000, 984,000.
Also in my conversation, just talked about all of the words that were in the statement that also appeared. So what he wrote in his report and what I had in my conversation may not have been the same thing.
Ma'am, I don't know. No. With Mr. Snell, let's move beyond that.
No one here, by the way. No one for you, we got it.
That's a post TV related.
Please, Jordan.
We just don't like Amber. That's not the Waldman statement.
That's three, you know what? There it is. Good for it.
It can happen.
Oh, this guy's amazing.
Of the millions.
Oh, my God. He had to do it.
Tweets that Mr. Shell analyzed, right?
I don't have a definition or a report in front of me, but we can look at it together if you'd like to.
Correct. And you said Waldman appears in Waldman.
Already,
yeah,
yes.
All right.
Yeah.
That's your only.
God, he had to say
any of his activity has any link. Correct.
Oh.
Campaigns were not active. Well, the famous, and then they started appearing. So there is some connectivity. Well.
He doesn't. If the social media campaigns call, generate all those
things. And the thing is, like, you saw her smirk a little bit, because as he was naming them off, he's like, the four things. And as soon as he listed it, he gave a number, he's like, there's four of them, I was like, uh-oh, he's gonna go for it again, man. Guy's unleashed. I know, man, she's getting burned up. You gotta understand, she's only been sitting in that chair for 5 minutes. He's got another hour. There's another hour of this. Oh, my God. He unleashed the turret, yeah. Holy fucking shit, man. Four time back-to-back, yeah. Like, they were just, they were holding this guy back. It's only 10% of his power. It's four so far. They probably have an office pool for how many times he can get it in during the trial. Yeah, maybe you're right. Oh, my God, this rating might not even need... Honestly, like, he's just getting... He's so happy, too. He's smiling. Oh, my God.
All right, so I'm just looking for all evidence.
Aquaman, and she was a prominent dramatic downturn in her career after any publicity.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you have notes?
No, L'Oreal contract full after that. Only time her career slowed down and stopped was at the same time that those defamatory statements came out. So,
but there was a lot of other activity that happened following the defamatory statements. You said every time Mr. Depp files a lawsuit, it ignites the fire around the both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually said it ignites the fire mostly around Mr. Depp. That was That was in context of when I was asked about Mr. Depp's career. It was not in context of when I was asked about Ms. Heard's career.
Mm-hmm. It's not the same fire?
It is and isn't. Who is the protagonist in the case in the UK? Ms. Heard was a witness to that case. She was not a part of the case. So most of the negative press went...
There was enormous amounts of negative activity around Ms. Heard as a result of the UK case. Isn't that true?
There was negativity, yes, about it. Remember both of them in the case, yes.
Substantial amounts of negativity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And so you can't tell me that that negativity isn't the thing that keeps your or Ms. Heard from working.
It was a close time frame.
The negative statements were a much closer time frame to the press and publicity around Aquaman and the stand than the UK case, which was later. So, again, I will look at that the defamatory statements is kind of the igniting force, and it was promoted and kind of more oxygen was put on the fire when the UK came out. So it kind of became a snowball effect of, you know, the match was lit, and it kept getting stronger and stronger.
But Ms. Heard isn't claiming a causal connection between the UK case and her damage. Is that true?
Yeah.
And you can't distinguish between the UK bad publicity and the bad publicity that derived after the Waldman statement.
What time frame are you talking about with the bad publicity from the UK case so we can at least be specific on time frames?
Well, you talked about a five-year time window.
A five-year time window from 2020 to the 2 years that we're at now, plus the 3 years moving forward, is what I talked about in terms of the time frame that it would take someone who's been under this much duress to kind of rehabilitate their career. That's when we talked about the 5 years.
So you look over this five-year window, and during the period that precedes this window, there's lots and lots of negative press about Ms. Heard, irrespective of the Waldman statement, correct?
Before the Waldman statement, as I said, she was able to overcome that, and she got great jobs and was getting endorsement contracts.
Right, but after the Waldman statement, there is more activity in the press, there's more social media activity, and you cannot put a causal connection between that activity and what Mr. Waldman said.
It can be the instigating event, if you want me to call it that. We'll call the Waldman statements the instigating event of a torrential rain of social media tactics that went on, has gone on for years. Yeah.
The instigating event, and therefore your damage analysis with a degree, some degree, I guess, of reasonable certainty is that once there's an instigating event, everything that happens thereafter is fair game for damages?
Well, it's like a fire. If one tree burns and then more air or wind is added to it, then the next tree burns and the whole forest burns. But if that first fire hadn't started with the one tree, there would have been no loss of acreage. So you can look at it with that same analogy.
Trees burn one at a time, don't they?
you know, I'm not a firefighter. I'm not going to go there with you. But obviously, we know that a single match can cause thousands of acres.
I think I went there with you. All right, let's do this.
Okay.
There were a number of persons described comparable. What Ms. Hurd was likely to make over time, correct?
Yes.
All right. Of those comparable actors and actors, is there a single one who has had any press suggesting that they defecated in the marital bed?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Okay.
You
got to relax.
You agree with me.
Oh, my God.
It's a negative.
Oh, my God.
With respect to Hollywood.
Holy shit.
If one believes it, you know, it was reported.
Holy fuck, man.
It certainly has been discussed. We don't have any proof or video of anybody defecating on the bed.
I certainly do not have proof or, a video of anybody defecating in a bed. I'll give you that.
That's a good thing.
Is he flirting with her? Oh, my God.
What you know is that Mr. Wallman is defecating.
Bro, this is ridiculous.
Correct.
Right. So all of the bad publicity around activity has nothing to do with Wallman, right?
Wallman, as you said, didn't talk about defecation.
Okay.
Exactly.
If you have considered how that story has adversely impacted Ms. Hurd.
No way he's going to go for five.
That story,
no way.
Asking me for a causational link between that poop story and her demise of her career, I can't. No, I'm not going to do that, nor can I.
Wouldn't do it.
Can I make it? No.
No way he's going to go for five. I think he's going to
make this either, can you?
Well, again, I did. I have. So.
You did by just pointing out the time frame are relatively close.
The time frame and the instigation and, if you will, the rallying of the forces. Again, it's like a lit tree. It's going to ignite everything. It's like free game afterwards. So it was the instigating event, if you will. That's what I looked at, yes.
All right. From your perspective, anything that happened after Wallman that was negative to your client is attributable to Wallman and therefore attributable to the damage.
I was tasked with looking at that specifically, and that's what I was asked to limit it to. I was not asked to look at anything else.
That's different.
Right. So there you go. These are the people that Amber Heard is putting on the stand. Somebody who claims to be an expert in this whole thing, and she does claim to be an expert in entertainers and so forth, and knowing, you know, when they get bad publicity and so forth and what causes that to happen. But as you can clearly see, this chick has serious problems, man, and she has problems big time. And the thing is that I laugh my ass off because a lot of this stuff is just hilarious. I mean, it is hilarious, hilarious, hilarious. So, I think that Amber Heard's team is really destroying their witnesses, man. I think that Amber, and I'm talking about they're putting these people on the stand, which is bad. It is really bad for them. But not only that they're putting these people on the stand, but they're getting to the point where it's becoming a major issue for her team. And Johnny Depp's lawyers
really do go after him. I mean, that's what they do. That's what his lawyers do. So they don't hold back either, man. They go, when they go after him, man, they go after him like full-fledged. I mean, they go full-fledged after him. And I think it's great. I think that, you know, because when they come to the point where they want to lie all the time and they feel like they should lie and everything else, that, you know, you got to dissect all that stuff. You got to dissect the lies from the truth. And, you know, that's what we're dealing with here. But the truth of the matter is that this court case is really a freaking circus. And I find it very interesting that it is a circus, because every one of these people that come on there, of course, they look at, and here's what you got to look at. Number one, these witnesses are all pre-trained what to do. So Amber Heard's lawyers will sit down with them, go over the questions they're going to ask, and then give them possibilities of some cross-examination questions. And then, of course, what they have told them, if you watch, they tell the witnesses, make sure you look at the jury. So that way, when people go over and look at the jury, when you're looking at the jury, you're giving them the information, but you're looking at them, and that is an eye contact to the jury. Like if you're trying to mentally tell them, hey, I'm telling the truth. And so that's what she's doing there. That's what they've been pre-trained to do. Amber Turd, is one of those people who did that. You know, she looked at the jury through her whole process because she's lying. And she wants to see if they're going to buy her bullshit, right? That's what she's making sure, because she's looking at the jury's faces, looking at their body language, herself, and seeing if they're buying into her bullshit or if, you know, she has something else on them. She's a terrible actress, by the way. I have to admit to that. And this woman cannot act whatsoever. And watching her on the stand when she was up there, I was sitting there thinking to myself, here's the thing. I never knew who Amber Heard was. I never knew her. Even when I seen Aquaman, I mean, it wasn't like I was, like a magnet trying to figure out to pay attention to Amber Heard or Amber Turd. I didn't know who she was. But then this court case came out, the Johnny Depp thing, and then, you know, I started to realize who Amber Heard was, Amber Turd was. And then I started realizing that's who she is. And then, you know, when these experts came on there today, this one expert that we just heard about, the female, you know, she tried to claim that, you know, Johnny Depp, caused Amber Heard to fall off, that Aquaman was, you know, that she was really popular in Aquaman. The problem is that, that's not who people are going to see is Amber Heard when it comes to Aquaman, right? They're going to see Aquaman. They're going to go see him, right? These girls go out there and they want to see Jason Momoa, and they want to see him out there and with his shirt off, and they're going, ooh, yeah, he's, you know, hot and everything. You know, that's what these girls are doing. And, you know, so that's what they're there for. That's who made this movie. This is who made the movie. Jason Momoa, not Amber Heard. I mean, yes, she was in the movie, but she's not the big star of that film. And, you know, she hasn't done a lot of movies, but they were trying to claim that she was more popular than what she really was, but she's not. Then they had these doctors on there. Now, oh my God, the doctors were just truly, really screwed up. They really were. The first doctor they had was a gentleman who even admitted that he was getting paid $5,000 to be there as a witness. So he was a paid actor to be there. That's what they pay them there. They pay them to be there, and that's what they paid her. Paid this doctor was $5,000 to present his story pertaining to Johnny Depp's finger being severed by a vodka bottle that Amber Heard threw at him and actually hit his hand, and of course it severed his finger. So when they brought him on there, you know, he kept trying to put in his testimony, kept saying that, oh, well, you know what, this is what happened. He had his fingers curled up on the bar, and the bottle came on an angle down, and, you know, it didn't really sever it much. It was something else. It did. So he was trying to come up with all these different lies. And then all of a sudden, in his testimony, though, he had it where his hand, he said that Johnny Depp's hand was laid out flat with his fingers over the bar. So that's what the truth of the matter is that how, you know, he's trying to say one thing and his testimony said something else. Now, the testimony is something that they speak about before they get to court. They write a testimony of what they believe, what they see, what, you know, what they're witnessing. And then they ask them those questions on the stand. And so when Johnny Depp's lawyers went to ask him this in cross-examination, of course, they really tore into his ass. And he just started to unravel really quickly. I mean, this guy was an embarrassment to Amber Heard's team. I mean, it was really bad. But then it didn't stop there. And it went to the next doctor. The doctor who everybody is already putting on Facebook as he looks like Doc from Back to the Future. You know, Christopher Lloyd. And so this guy gets on there and starts talking about psychology and drugs and how this you know, it affects people and so forth, and how this is what Johnny Depp is, right? This is what this, without him even examining Johnny Depp, he automatically assumed this is why Johnny Depp's you know, messed up is because of these certain medications and drugs and so forth. So they went after him, and they tried to judge. So Johnny Depp's lawyers went after him and cross-examined him and said, you know, hey, you know, number one, this doctor called Johnny Depp an idiot. They wanted to know why he called him an idiot, and does he call all of his people idiots, right, all of his patients? And then tried to explain to him that, you know, the doctor said he based Johnny Depp's mental status off of the way he speaks and his mobility of his body language, his walking and hand movements and gestures and so forth. And the thing is that they asked him, well, what if the person had a medical condition that could make them have something like that, speaking slow and so forth? And he says, well, yeah, that could happen, but it's not that, you know, this is not what, you know, in this case is not what's going on. But they had to try to prove that. So they really tore him apart on that. And then they tore him apart on the fact that he said that Johnny Depp had an earpiece in his ear. They were feeding him lines when, in fact, the truth of the matter is Johnny Depp had music in his ear on the set of, I believe it was Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that. But anyway, he was doing a movie, and Johnny Depp had an earpiece in. And now, of course, this doctor claims that that's why he had issues, is because he had to have the lines fed to him because he was not in the right state of mind, the right state of cognitivity and so forth. So this is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a circus in this whole damn courtroom. Now, like I said at the beginning of this broadcast, I don't believe that either one of them are angels by no matter. You know, I'm not saying that I'm for Amber Heard or Johnny Depp. What I am saying is, I'm looking at a defamation case here, and I'm trying to look at both sides of the parties. And when I look at both sides of the parties, when I see that Amber Heard's lawyers and her team is doing what they're doing with these witnesses and Amber Heard and so forth, I mean, you can clearly see that this is a screwed-up situation to where it's making Amber Heard look even worse than what she was. To be honest with you, I never knew anything about Amber Heard, like I said, until I watched this case. And I really was trying to, and I kept an open mind with it until I started seeing how her reactions are in the courtroom, her testimony, and, you know, all the witnesses. And I'm talking about with Johnny Depp's witnesses and Johnny Depp's evidence. And then you look at when she gets up and her witnesses and so forth, and you say to yourself, who the hell do you believe, right? Who are you going to believe? Well, it's real easy when you look at both parties. I believe Johnny Depp. I have to believe him because there's evidence there that is true factual-looking evidence. Amber Heard's evidence is that she has a psychological issue. She really does. It's already been proven. They've already said she does. She has multiple personalities and so forth. And so anybody that goes and shits on somebody's bed does have a psychological issue. Okay, you don't see people shitting on people's beds unless they truly have some kind of issue in their mentality. And, I mean, anybody knows, anybody, they know this for a fact that that's what happens. So, this is what we're seeing. This is what, you know, this whole circus in this courtroom, oh, my God, it's terrible. It makes me sick to think that here's why I get really sickened with this. Because there are real, and I'm talking about with Amber Heard and her people. Number one, there are real people out there that have serious domestic violence. We're talking about women who get beat up, men who get beat up. And when you see these sideshow jokes that they're doing in this courtroom, I mean, it makes you sick to think that, hey, there's real people out there. So it's an embarrassment to these type of people, man. It's an embarrassment to knowing to trust the system and knowing to trust, you know, what happens there. And, you know, everything that Amber Heard has produced so far about being bruised and beat up and all that kind of stuff, here's the thing. Number one, there's people who are around her who say, you know, she brought on the stand thinking, hey, they're going to testify for me. They're going to testify. And then, of course, she brought them on there to testify that she was beat up. But the problem is, these people said, oh, she didn't have no marks on her face. Her eyes, you know, she said that Johnny Depp broke her nose. But the next day, her face wasn't swollen. Her eyes wasn't swollen. If you've ever seen anybody get a busted nose, and this is just the true facts, you can look it up yourself. But when somebody has their nose broke, usually there is some indication of a serious swelling in that area, plus their eyes turn black and blue, almost like if they have raccoon eyes, you know? And it's caused because all those vessels get busted if somebody has a broken nose. The next day, she wakes up, goes out there, you know, everybody says, she tells everybody, Johnny busted my nose, broken. And, of course, she has no markings, no bruises, nothing of that. And that's where I see on that. Now, again, this whole case, once again, is about a defamation case, right? Not defecation, that's Amber Heard, but a defamation case, right? So that's what this is all about. It's about, did her writing a letter saying that Johnny Depp was an abuser and all this other shit, did it cause Johnny Depp to have issues with finding work in his job? Like, did he lose his job with Pirates of the Caribbean of it? Did he lost his job with Fantastic Beasts, you know? Did he lose his jobs because of that reasoning? Did that letter cause this to happen? Did it defame Johnny Depp's name, right? So that's what's going on here. That's what the lawsuit's about. And, of course, Amber Heard's suing Johnny Depp because of defamation of character. But when we go back to look at this once again, that letter, and it played the audio like a week ago, when Amber Heard got up on that stand the first day, she admitted writing that letter. Clearly she admitted to writing that letter by saying, hey, you know, my ex-husband, because they asked the question was by her own lawyers, asked the question, why are you here? And she said, I'm here because my ex-husband is suing me for a note that I wrote. A note that I wrote, not a note that I allegedly wrote, not a note that, you know, that they're saying that I wrote, or any of those other indicators. She's saying he's suing me for a letter or a note that I wrote. So that, I mean, that's an admission of guilt right there, period. But the whole factor of it is that this is why they're suing Amber Heard because of the defamation of this. And truly, I truly believe that Johnny Depp is going to win this case. And the reason why I say that is because, number one, there's a lot going on here that you can really figure out that what the truth is between fiction and false, but it's clearly what it is. And I truly believe that Johnny Depp's going to win this lawsuit. You know, the factors are, and what the factors remain is that, I mean, it truly remains that Johnny Depp, you know, is definitely has a defamation suit against Amber Heard for this. And, you know, and I believe him. I believe what happened to him was terrible. I truly believe that. And, you know, everybody who's out there can really contest to that, that, you know, that Johnny Depp was going through a lot and this is what happened to him. So, you know, anybody out there can really admit to that this is a serious defamation lawsuit. But I truly believe in that what is happening is that it is a circus in this courtroom, and it really makes sense out there. This is truly a circus in this courtroom. All right, so let's get back to the audio clips, and the one I'm playing is here is going to be the first doctor. This is the doctor that handled the severed finger and so forth, and so this he's talking about. And it's this is done by Osmond Gold. He is on YouTube, and he actually does a little commentary with it. And I like when he does this because he has some great information with it and the way he discusses this. So, again, this is with Osmond Gold. And so this is with Osmond Gold. And so you're going to hear a couple scenarios here. And so I hope you guys will kind of figure it out here. But this is a really cool audio. I think you guys will like it. But here is the audio clip of the doctor being torn apart by Johnny Depp's lawyers in the cross-examination. So here it is.
His testimony?
Yes.
He testified that Mr. Depp demonstrated his hand was flat on the surface. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's not entirely accurate, is it, though?
No. His description was relatively consistent in both, including turning and rest of the hand on the edge.
Johnny Depp.
Dr. Morrison, for that, did the demonstration his deposition, he showed that his fingers were hanging over the bar?
The hand or the nail.
That's not my question. My question is, isn't it true that Mr. Depp said, not laying flat on a table, they were hanging over the bar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
When you made that opinion. Isn't that correct?
Well, you
idiot.
Hear that I said that they were slightly curled over.
Yeah. Wow.
Your description in this courtroom was that it was laying flat, and I think you've done that now twice. But in your deposition, you testified that his fingers were actually hit. Is that correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the witness's testimony. He clearly indicated they were curled.
Overruled.
So that's a...
Overruled. No, let's hear it.
That's a distinction that
Jesus
perhaps...
Jesus Christ.
Stated in one of the two descriptions.
Oh, no.
It's not a substantial change in my opinion of fact and how it.
So it was a misstatement. Well, that makes sense. Of course.
Mr. Depp also testified that the bottle came from an off angle.
Yes.
And you consider that entering your opinion today, correct?
Yes. I stated that it came from 10 feet, I think, off. Straight with the right.
$1,000.
So it didn't come from the top, as you previously testified just a few minutes ago, correct?
Well, no, it would have struck top of the finger, but it may have been quite a angle.
Mr. Duff described it as off angled, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Dr. Ward, just at the outset, your billing rate for providing deposition testimony is $1,000 per hour?
That's correct.
I think I know why he's here.
And you were deposed in this action for several hours on March 22nd.
Guys, it's all coming together.
That's correct.
And your billing rate for providing trial testimony is $5,000.
That's correct.
You were on this case assignment for the legal team, correct?
Correct.
And over the last few years, you've provided expert services for one of Ms. Hurd's law firms on at least two other cases, right?
That's correct, yes.
Dr. Moore, is it fair to say that you have no personal knowledge as to how Mr. Depp injured his finger?
$5,000 a day.
No, I have no personal knowledge. My impression is based on his description of available medical records for review.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't in Australia.
I was
not
in Australia.
And so therefore you have no personal knowledge as to how that injury was sustained.
Do you think he cut it off himself? You never personally examined Mr. Duff's finger, did you?
Correct.
No, you didn't.
You didn't examine Mr. Duff's finger at the time he was injured?
No.
I did not.
And you never provided any medical treatment to Mr. Duff in connection with his finger injury, did you?
Of course not.
Now, you've testified that you identified Mr. Duff's finger injury as a crush injury, correct?
Correct.
And a crush injury is when a body part is crushed or cracked, exposing firm surfaces, yes?
Yes.
And a crush injury to a finger can occur when a foreign object hits the finger, right?
Yes.
And based on the pictures that you reviewed of Mr. Duff's finger injury, you cannot determine what particular object caused the injury to his finger. Yes?
Well, I can't determine exactly what object did it. I think that I can say with confidence that the described mechanism of the bottle hitting and shattering the finger was not consistent with the
injury. I understand that.
And
my
question
is very specific. You can't determine the object that caused the injury to Mr. Duff's finger.
Obviously not.
It's a little bit more of a non-specific answer. I mean,
but there's no way you can tell.
Again, I can't determine the exact object, but I can determine that it's unlikely that it was sustained in the manner described.
This guy's having a bad time.
A bottle is a foreign object, isn't it?
Yes.
It would look that way.
You can't rule out that the injury to Mr. Duff's finger was caused by a vodka bottle, correct?
No, you can't rule that out.
Well, based on the injury pattern, I can say that the described mechanism of injury is inconsistent with medical findings.
That's good. Go back to the script. Read that
because
one.
Because a vodka bottle or not, you can't rule out that a vodka bottle is what caused Mr. Duff.
Just say no.
Well, I can't rule out that a vodka bottle caused the injury, but I can rule out caused in the manner described in his testimony.
You can't rule out that the injury was caused by a knife, right?
Something like caused by a knife.
You can't rule it out.
Well, a simple knife laceration, part of the energy failing to accommodate the fracture.
Okay.
Now, a chopping knife, but again, that was like from a direction that would create the dorsal injury to create the fracture that fell.
Do you remember giving testimony in this case, Dr. Moore?
Deposition.
And you were under oath, correct?
Correct.
Uh-oh.
And that was on March 22nd.
Let's check the log.
Yeah?
Correct.
Yeah, let's see the log. I'm ready. Oh, my God, bro. Like, this guy is a clown. Like, what the fuck? Like, you spoke about, yeah, what the hell are you talking about? $5,000 a day. Yeah, I wonder why he's here. Bro, there's a raid. That's like a raid Shadow Legends partnership.
Mr. Moore, may I please have you go to page 163.
God damn.
Your deposition. Specifically line 17.
Uh-huh. All right, what did he say?
163.
Yeah.
Sorry, apologies.
Yeah,
164.
Thank you. Man, this guy's having a bad time. I'm going to tell you that. He's having a bad fucking
line
time.
Line four.
Correct.
Question. You can't rule it out completely, right? Answer. I can't rule anything out completely.
Of course.
I can't rule out that he caught it in the door, cut it with a knife, or slammed it in the car. Or, again, as Dr. Gilmer said, you can't definitively say what caused it. Did I read that correctly?
Your Honor, I was deaf. But need impeachment. I think she's going to read his answer. She also needs to read or give Dr. Moore the chance to read the paragraph below. She just picked out half a minute.
Can redirect.
Look at the next paragraph above.
Dr. Moore, there's no question pending. Thank you, though.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So you can't rule out
hard
work. Is that right?
Correct.
Testimony sitting here today that you can rule out the injury caused by a Vox box. Is that your testimony?
My testimony is that I can rule out injury as caused by the mechanism described by
but you can't definitively say what caused the injury to Mr. Dustin.
The definitive question, but I think
we know you can't say.
Quite likely that the initial
we know that.
Mechanism described at the time of presentation of the accordion doors
uh-huh.
would clasp pattern. You know, the hand up in front, mm-hmm. picture accordion doors, and palm is exposed.
Dr. Moore,
closes about the
fingers. I understand. But my question is.
I think it's important that they understand that.
This is the time for me to ask you questions. Your counsel will have the ability to rehabilitate you and
okay.
ask questions on redirect.
There we go.
Right
there
now.
We go. All right. All right. You should keep going on, man.
What caused the injury?
It's $1,000 an hour, okay?
Yes or no?
You try to
no.
make this as big as possible.
In conducting your analysis
yeah.
of Mr. Depp's finger injury, you did not attempt to reconstruct the incident. Is that right?
What?
Well, I think the incident was... reconstruct, throw a Bach bottle or something?
No, Dr. Moore. I mean, you didn't do any type of accident reconstruction, either computerized or any, you didn't conduct any type of accident reconstruction of the alleged.
No, that's correct. My opinion is based on the medical records and the clinical description.
Uh-huh.
And your analysis is based on an understanding of how Mr. Depp described the exact positioning of his finger at the time of the injury.
Right.
Yes.
And your analysis is also based on the assumption that Mr. Depp's hand remained completely still in the instance that a vodka bottle was hurled at him. Yes?
No, my assessment is on the description of the vodka bottle striking the top of his finger.
Hit the top, obviously.
But his
he obviously didn't hit the
according
top.
According to your analysis, yes?
The two things are five steps. Sure.
I guess it was still long enough for the bottle to hit. Naturally, action, try to play.
Yeah.
Performed traumatic finger surgeries, you inquired about the cause of the injury, correct?
Correct.
Right.
And your best information on that is simply just a self-reported patient, yes?
Yes.
Correct.
And your assumption is that the patient is trying to get care, because the patient is trying to get care, that person, that patient is generally telling the truth, right?
I would
that. You would hope so.
Review Dr. Cooper's deposition testimony informing your opinion about Mr. Depp's finger
mm-hmm.
injury, correct?
Correct.
Informing your opinion, did you consider Dr. Kipper's deposition testimony that while Dr. Kipper was providing emergency treatment
objection,
for Mr. Depp?
Well, this is like, you know what's so weird about this? Is like, what do you think happened? Like, let's say his hand was like, it wasn't like this, it was like this, right? Because I would imagine, like, you have your hand on the side, and it's like this, right? So, like, the bottle would break, and it would come down, and it would slice your fucking finger. It's like, the thing is, the reason why I'm much more willing to, like, fill in the gaps with, like, Johnny's story than Amber's is because Johnny's finger's fucking gone, and there's a picture of it, and there's supposed to be a finger there. There ain't no fucking finger there, right? Like, I'm willing to, you know, like, assume that maybe his hand wasn't exactly where he said it was because there's something that happened. Something fucking happened.
So informing your opinion, did you consider Dr. Kipper's deposition testimony that while Dr. Kipper was providing emergency
uh-huh.
treatment for Mr. Depp's finger injury in Australia in the driveway of the house, Depp told him that his finger was injured when Ms. Heard threw a vodka bottle at him.
Uh-huh. Right.
I don't recall that from the deposition. I'd be happy to have the deposition available.
Did you consider Dr. Cooper's testimony that he recalled that finger was found in the kitchen?
I do recall that.
So you must have also seen Dr. Cooper's deposition testimony that he wasn't the one who actually found the finger, correct?
That's correct.
Dr. Cooper testified that someone he thought was the chef told him he found the finger in the kitchen area, correct?
God, it wasn't a window.
I'm going to sit out now.
Uh-huh.
Did you review any testimony from Ben King and Ren's opinions today?
Yes.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Did you see any of Mr. King's testimony at this trial?
I did not.
So you're not aware that Mr. King testified that he is the one who found Mr. Depp's finger, are you?
Oh.
And you're not aware that Mr. King testified that he found Mr. Depp's finger in the bar area, right?
Correct.
And you're not aware that Mr. King testified he found Mr. Depp's finger in a piece of tissue in the bar area, either?
Ooh.
No.
And you're not aware that Mr. King testified that multiple broken liquor bottles were also found in the bar area, right?
Correct.
Oh.
If we could please pull up Defendant's Exhibit 1817.
Oh, my God. Am I going to have to click this again? Let me see. I'm going to put this up just in case there ain't no bad shit here. Like, it's just like, but, like, you can't know. It's about the cheat.
And it may be published, please.
I just don't have it.
Like, it's like the question is, like, did he cut it off himself?
That would help.
I don't think he did.
There we go.
Like, I don't think that happened.
Have you ever seen this picture before, Dr. Moore?
No.
So you're not aware that this was the bar area where Mr. King testified he found Mr. Duff's finger?
No.
Do you see that broken vodka bottle in the back corner near the bottom of the bar?
Yes.
Do you see the blood drops on the floor?
Well, it looks like. I don't know.
Can you pull up Defendant's Exhibit 1820, which is already in evidence?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Okay, that one's fine. That's
brutal. Have you seen this picture before, Dr. Moore?
Holy shit, not.
So you're not aware that this is also from the bar area where Mr. King testified he found Mr. Depp's finger?
Correct.
Do you see the bloody tissue on the ground at the bottom of the bar?
Yes.
Oh.
Do you see the blood drops around that tissue?
Oh.
So you didn't consider any of this evidence when rendering your opinion about how Mr. Depp injured his finger in Australia, did you?
Not.
Nothing further, Your Honor. Thank you.
Redirect.
To me, it's so obvious, like,
can you pull up Exhibit 1817?
Okay, all right, let's go. Let's see. I'm a fucking get this in the way just in case.
And can you pull up what Ms. Vasquez referred to as a broken vodka bottle, Michelle, please?
How can you possibly...
Dr. Moore, what, based on your review of the documents in this case, what did you understand to be the size of the bottle of vodka that Mr. Depp alleged cut off his finger? The description that it was a handle, a half-gallon bottle. And that's bigger than a 750 mil or fit of liquor, correct?
Who cares?
And what size bottle, if to the extent that's even a bottle, what size that appear to be?
Wait.
Culture speculation.
About a handle?
Objection, culture speculation.
Objection.
Dr. Vasquez, asked about Dr. Tipper's deposition testimony.
I figured it out.
Where
wait for the break.
That allegedly told him that the finger was severed from a vodka bottle. Do you remember that question a few minutes ago?
Objection.
I figured it out.
Overruled.
I did that question. Yeah. Thank you. Is that consistent, that alleged account, is that the text be that Dr. No. And what did those texts say? As I recall, Mr. Depp indicated that he had a finger. Now, Ms. Vasquez wouldn't let you trying to explain to the jury how Mr. Depp's account of injuring his finger in the indoor would be perfect photographs of stock. Could you please explain that to the jury?
Oh, and I've already...
Well,
cut his finger off. Yeah, like you broke your arm.
They come in with an odd. Uh-huh. That's back.
Okay.
And put your hand up. A closure of a hinge or a closure of a palm or some. Off center. Push that tissue away in a similar fashion.
Yeah.
But nail bed, it creates this injury with fracture, the tissue loss, and preserve the nail bed.
No shot. There'd be like tearing and shit, right? Like, I don't know.
Can you look at page one?
There'd be like tearing.
Deposition, the one that Ms. Vasquez just showed you. Yes.
Maybe it's just like, it's in like a little square. If it gets ripped off.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
She read. Right. She only read half of the answer. So I'm going to read the whole injury. I'm going to ask your answer right. Okay. Question on 164, line 4, but you can't rule it out, right? No. Answered, I can't rule that thing out completely.
Obviously.
I can't rule out that he caught it in the door, cut it with a knife,
mm-hmm.
or slammed it in the car door. Or again,
right.
as Dr. Gilmore said, we can't definitively say what caused this injury. And then you go on to say, this is where Ms. Vasquez cut you off. And like, what
I don't think that's the transjection. I'll sustain that.
The rest of your answer, she didn't read Dr. Gilmore. What I, question I can answer, that the mechanism that was described by Ms. Death and demonstrated by Ms. Death inconsistent with the injury pattern that's found on the images and the description.
Okay.
Did I read that right?
Yes.
That's fair. That remain your opinion today. Yes. Has anything that's been presented to you on cross-examination changed any of the opinions that you hold in this case? No. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Oh, this is the bot. Wait, this is the guy that was laughing and had to leave the room, isn't it?
Tell the jury your full name. Richard Stalter Moore, Jr. Where do you work? So in Wilmington,
Carolina. Oh, my God.
I'm a sheriff, surgeon, practicing neurosurgeon, microvascular.
That's the wrong person. I was wrong.
How
about
many
that.
Years have you been an orthopedic surgeon? My fellowship, 1997.
That's old. God damn.
Geez, bud. And I believe that you mentioned, but tell the jury what area of orthopedic surgery do you special?
So I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Pope Medical School. Went to a 5-year orthopedic surgery residency. At the completion of my residency, I wanted to specialize in hand surgery. So I did an...
Oh, hand surgery.
Specifically in hand and upper extremity surgery. Before starting...
The rerun? Wait, refresh? Okay, let me refresh.
You mentioned a little bit of it.
I've been at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, graduated in 19.
Okay, there we go.
Biology and all the medical school. I graduated in 1991. Then went
go back in the law, it's Permaban.
Did a 5-year residency there. And in 1996, I went to Duke University Medical Center and did a year of fellowship in hand, upper extremity, and microvascular surgery. My role was hand and trauma, so receptorship and pelvic trauma, and then went back and practiced as the big trauma surgeon and basketball instruction. So,
okay.
She's out.
A little bow. What is that?
And you maintained an active practice.
What's that little bow?
In 2000. And before that, correct?
Yeah.
Just very briefly, can you tell the jury what is a residency?
Residency is
just a doctor's thing.
Largely an apprenticeship. Medical school.
That's
you
a
have
good way to say it.
Medical
never
degree.
Thought about it, though. That's true.
Can't practice medicine, and you take a tract of internal medicine.
You're like Colonel Sanders. You're right.
It's a graduated training program, anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6 years.
And what's a fellowship?
A fellowship here beyond training. When I completed my residency, I chose my practice surgery. but I specialize, and therefore they're required to train. And I believe you mentioned this, but your subspecialization is in hand. Is that right? That's correct. Why did you choose to specialize in hand? Patient population, types of problems to treat, attitude, lack of a better term, it's really pretty anatomy. Let's talk about that anatomy. There's bones in the hand, right?
Okay.
And then there's blood vessels, right?
Objection.
That's good. It's a man passionate about his craft.
Sorry.
I like that.
And surgery called where you operate on two blood vessels.
Hand job.
Well, that would be hand surgery. I mean, there are different there's
tears.
There's a microvascular element where we repair injured nerve. In my practice at Duke, I was on the picture, please.
That's bad.
It looks like a
foot
injury
over that.
Where tissue's actually pulled or pinched away. That the tissue fall.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Palmer. Underneath. Rather all transverse, if the bottle struck the finger,
okay,
you would expect more of this level of injury rather than isolated palmar acid. And what do you notice about the condition of the fingernail in this picture? So from this, the fingernail appears to be intact.
It's blocked because the gore.
Can't necessarily tire nail, but there are other profile of that. And the nail's not elevated. It's not. There's no subungual hematoma beneath it, or there's no bruise in it.
Oh, my God.
Anyone stuck their finger in a drawer or caught it in a car with a hammer knows that almost immediately there's typically bleeding underneath the nail, which creates this hematoma. So.
Looking for the next stop on your travel healthcare adventure? Start with AMN Passport. AMN.
All right, so the next one that we're going to play here in just a minute is the doctor who – so this doctor looks like Doc Martin from – Doc Brown from To the Future, man. And this guy, he gets so upset that he starts just – you can tell he just starts freaking out when he gets under the cross-examination part. So I found it was very funny because, again, these witnesses are paid. You got to remember that. They're paid a large amount of money from Amber Heard's attorneys to show up and, you know, give a testimony that they pretty much have been – that's been put together by them because they've been paid. So everybody knows this. Everybody sees what they're doing. This whole thing is a game of what this is about. I mean, that's what Amber Heard is doing, is a game. And she is good at manipulating people, so she knows how to get what she needs through manipulation and through probably screwing every man to get where she is today. That's how she got her jobs. I guarantee you that. I mean, she's out screwing around with Elon Musk and James DeFranco and, you know, trying to get job positions by getting nude in front of them and then having sex with them. And, you know, she came out clearly on the stand and said that she has a baby through Elon Musk. I mean, this woman takes the cake of the craziness of this whole situation. And, of course, Amber Heard is what she, you know, is all about trying to manipulate. Like I said, she is running a sideshow court a circus here, and everybody's watching it. Now, something that was really interesting today, I don't know if I mentioned it yet or not, but so that when they went on lunch break, there was a woman holding a baby in the courtroom. And, of course, you know, they had just let out of court, and they're, you know, everybody's trying to exit. And Johnny Depp looks back and waves to the people in the courtroom. And this one lady, they just waved to, jumps up and says, "Hey, Johnny, I love you, and I've got your baby right here. Here's your baby." And it was meant to be a joke against Johnny Depp, you know, just having some fun. Well, you know, the news reporters started flocking around her because they're like, "Oh, my God, Johnny Depp has a baby by this woman?" Well, she came out and told everybody that it was a joke that her and her husband put together, and they were just teasing. And so the news media had to confirm Johnny Depp has what? Three children, right? Still has three, is that right? And everybody's like, yes. So it was kind of a spectacle in the courtroom today as they were exiting for lunch. And if you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, you have to look at it. But this is the stuff that goes on in that courtroom that, like I said, it's a circus. It's a sideshow. And majority of it is Amber Turd being who she is and, of course, her attorneys. Now, she is trying to claim that Johnny Depp has caused so much trouble, even while they're going through the court case, because, see, Amber Heard has lost her job with Aquaman 2. They've actually booted her out after there was over 5 billion signatures for have her removed in a protest. So Marvel has removed her from any further contact or contract, I should say, with their organization. So she will no longer be playing any in the DC Marvel community on both sides. She is totally done. She's finished. And I would say that the reason why that is, ain't because they hashtag Amber Turd and all that other shit. But I would assume that it has to do with this case, and it has to. They probably, you know, I wouldn't put it past that these, you know, movie companies are looking at her saying, "Oh my God, look at this woman! Look who she is out there in the courtroom! Look at what's going on! Look at how psychotic this bitch is." That's exactly what they're doing. They're saying this woman is a freaking psycho. She is messed up, and we do not want anything to do with her or have any involvement with her because she is a mess. And the truth of the matter is nobody would want to hire her. I mean, she is very much like poison to any movie industry right now. She is poisonous. Now, on Johnny Depp's character, I think that he would, you know, I believe he's going to win this case, but let's say he does win, okay, for argument. This, I believe, will help him to go further in any kind of movies or so forth. And I know that it's going to help him in the sense that he will have possibly a better career. You know, his career will probably take off. Now, one thing I do know is that Robert Downey Jr., who is a really good friend of Johnny Depp, is making a movie. It's going to be another part of Sherlock Holmes. And he's already told Johnny Depp he wants him to play in the movie because he wants to get Johnny Depp back on track, you know, try to get him some movie roles and to help him rebuild his character, because that's the one thing that's going to happen after this trial. When Johnny Depp wins, he's going to have to build up his character, build up who he is. A lot came out about Johnny Depp, obviously, stuff that we probably already knew about, some stuff we don't know about. But it's going to have to come to the point where he's going to have to build up his character. Amber Turd, on the other hand, is going to have a lot more to do. And she's still brand new in the industry. And I truly believe that she's going to have a harder time finding jobs because she's still new. And because she's still new, she hasn't built up that characteristic of an actress yet. So, you know, she's not a hot commodity, as far as what they call it, hot commodity, for an actress. You know, they're going to find other people to play the roles, and I'm sure it's going to be that Amber Turd is going to have issues finding any kind of job after this. Well, she's having problems now. But again, It is not to do with Johnny Depp. It's not his fault that she is all screwed up. It's not Johnny Depp's fault that she came out and, you know, the audio clips that they played, you know, showed that how much she is really psychotic in what she says. I mean, her words, her actions prove that she has issues. Now, I will say that a person who has got this kind of issue truly needs to have some kind of medical attention. I would really put it past that if she doesn't receive a true medical attention, she's going to have problems, right? Because it's going to get worse. Any guy who wants to be with her is going to find that she is poisonous in a relationship, and that she's the aggressor, and you can clearly see it. And so can, if you go back and listen to many experts who read body language and so forth, will even tell you that Amber Turd is the aggressor in this whole scenario, in this relationship. Amber Turd is the aggressor, period. She's the aggressor. And I truly believe that. I've seen so many domestic violence cases throughout my years as a police officer that I can clearly see when, you know, that this is a case of a man being abused by a female. And we don't really hear about that much, right? A lot of times men don't want to bring it out because it's an embarrassment to them. But I really strongly applaud Johnny Depp for bringing this out, because it will help other men to be able to go against their wives or females or whomever who do abuse them. And I really applaud him for that. And if you feel like you're being abused, I think you should call the abuse hotline. Like I said, I've seen a lot of domestic violence cases where women and men have been abused. And it's not a joke. It's really serious stuff. And a lot of times the aggressor will push the person so much that they have no clue what to do, so they end up staying with the person. And once they keep staying with the person, they go right back into verbal abuse, physical abuse, and it just keeps on going on and on. One thing about domestic violence I will tell you to females and males out there, that when you get in a relationship and it becomes a verbal abuse towards you, I'm talking about serious verbal abuse, when that verbal abuse starts, then the next step is physical violence, physical abuse. And it goes from physical abuse to the point that it almost can get to a point that it is death, where somebody will kill you. It happens, and it happens a lot every single day. Have you ever seen the movie called Tracy Thurman? So Tracy Thurman is a woman who, it's a true story of a woman who was being abused by her husband, and the police did not believe her. Nobody believed her. And it started out verbally, and then it got physically, and the police did nothing. And eventually it got to the point where the police showed up to try to stop the situation, but the officer was very terrified about it. And her husband ended up stabbing her and killing her, and she died. And that's when it was introduced about domestic violence, and that's how it came about. So the whole point of it is that it's a serious situation, and everybody that's out there that's going through it, please get some help, because it doesn't get any better. It gets worse. I've seen many cases, like I've said, and I've never seen a good outcome on those cases. Please get help if you're being abused by your husband or wife. That is truly the most important part to say here. Now, the next part we're going to play is the doctor who is drawn. It's Doc Brown, baby. Doc Brown from Back to the Future. And Doc Brown, he just gets so angry and just he starts to unravel with the cross-examination by Johnny Depp's attorneys. And it gets worse and worse as he goes along, and he starts to unravel so much that, oh, my God, it's so funny. It's terrible. I really feel sorry for the guy even showing up for his $2,000 paycheck or whatever the hell he got paid. But unfortunately, that's what happens. You get in front of a lawyers like that, they're going to tear your ass alive, and they're ruthless. Johnny Depp's lawyers are ruthless. They don't give a shit. They'll go right after you. And they go for the jugular on this stuff. Oh, man. All right, so here is the audio. And again, this is Osmond Gold, who he will – okay, so he's a YouTuber. And he does a commentary with these audios. So here he is, Osmond Gold, and here is the crazy ass doctor that gets unraveled by the cross examination of Johnny Depp's lawyers. Dun dun dun. All right, here we go.
That's a Perry's reports.
Oh my God! You guys see that? Like,
okay, and what if it, did you review the deposition trial testimony? Documents?
Yes. Objection.
I'll allow that. Thank you, Your Honor. Overruled. Did you interview Mr. Depp?
No, I did not.
Interesting.
Did you request?
You guys see that? Like,
okay, and what if it, did you review the deposition trial testimony? Documents?
As owner of Mint Mobile, I always want to find ways to save you money. So let's meet the barely paid spokesperson.
Okay,
all right, here we go.
Thank you.
Now we get the anti-wizard.
Let me ask you. I'm sorry, one more time.
Oh, shit.
You understand that the court was twice asked by Mr. Counsel to order a medical exam of Mr. Depp, and those motions are enough. I think your team told the court you didn't want to have that, but the court ruled on that. You kind of had a motion, right? No. Heard them and asked for them and did not get them.
Yeah.
Is that right, sir? If you're saying that's what happened, my understanding of was that
Oh my God.
Yes, that's what my understanding of was. So the court said no to ordering Mr. Depp to do the medical exam.
Right.
I said the court did not require it, right? And there was one that was that, right? It was.
Okay, yeah, there it is. He's going too hard on him, man. Holy shit, how long is this going to go on for? Wow, he's so aggressive? Yeah, I mean, this guy, as I said, he doesn't fuck around with wizards. He doesn't give a fuck about wizards. Destroy them.
So, the last thing you talked about...
oh, my God. Stacking Thunders.
Yes, sir. Been around for almost 50 years, right?
Yeah,
I'm 59. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And been around as a result of a presidential election. And who has that? What maintains that rule?
The American Psychiatric Association,
the one you're part of. An association you're a member of.
No.
Associated by a member of.
No.
Aren't you a fellow or something?
Yes, I am.
No. So, and this is an ethical rule, right? It's an ethical rule.
Yes, ethical, they say rules, they say ethical guideline, yes.
It's a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a rule, it's a guideline.
We know that over time, the American Psychiatric Association has amended the rule, so it's not just about diagnosis, but it's also about professional opinion. Could you be more specific about professional opinion?
Oh, no.
Let me read this.
Oh, the wizard. Oh,
it is unethical for a psychiatrist to offer a professional opinion about an individual based on publicly available information without conducting an examination. That's the rule, right?
If you're reading it directly, I will believe you.
Okay.
It's got all the thunders up.
However, a diagnosis is not required for an opinion to be professional. My question is, not diagnosing the waterfall plot, a professional opinion.
So, again, I'll reiterate that would come down to essentially nullifying this testimony
expert witness testimony without a direct evaluation. And as we know, it didn't happen. Regardless of that, the whole expert witness testimony thing would be basically rendered null and void. The rule, in fact, contemplates that issue, doesn't it, sir? So, again, I'm just telling you the answer to the question. Those statements.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Response by the other side publishes also is that if that was the case, there could be no expert witness testimony. Psychiatrists are ethically prohibited from evaluating individuals without permission or other authorization, such as a court order. That's the rule, right? Again, if you're reading that, then I have to...
God! Oh, God!
And I would come back again.
Oh, no!
This whole thing on effort. We might as well get rid of all the expert witnesses we've had throughout all of time. For court proceedings.
Just paid by the hour.
Unless court orders. That's what the APA said. And therefore, expert witnesses not do an evaluation based on an observation of medical practice. Insurance companies cannot do evaluations solely based on medical.
Now he's talking.
Rendering professional opinions.
Don't let him keep casting.
So at the end of the day, you are essentially saying that unless someone has directly evaluated it, this whole medical system.
Oh, he's bad. Yeah, he's bad.
No one. I'm not saying what you are, sir. Give me a second.
Spell reflect. Okay.
What I'm saying and what I am reading to you
yes.
is a rule by your organization takes into account that there could be a court that would permit the exact kind of evaluation that I'm eliminating. And I go in circles, but I just said that expert witness testimony would not be allowed, and the branch of forensic psychiatry would be especially hindered. No, the branch of forensic psychiatry does not prohibit that. So I am a member of the APA. That doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to uncategorically agree with, because clearly that's not the case.
Did you agree in your deposition that the professional opinions you rendered were inconsistent with the Goldwater Rule?
Yeah. My first was, if we're saying, and if the Goldwater Rule says, and I very much said that during deposition, that made for president, look, figures such as that, regardless of that's me.
Oh,
not
no.
Not Hollywood, but I'll even take them as a deaf of public opinion.
Oh, my, obviously.
What I'm saying to you is that the rules say we cannot do any expert witness testimony in our field. That is exactly what I'm saying based on exactly what you read. And I'm just telling you what you are saying out in comfort.
But I'm asking, sir.
Oh, God, they're fucking hating each other.
With the requirement
to comply.
APM.
Sir, oh my God!
Ready to that? It is.
This is the execute.
It is a requirement of the APA. It is not the requirement of the APA. Secondarily, we wasted our whole morning because of an expert witness before me. Is it? The ball and page you got these whole field of law corrupt and unethical. Engaging in an act that the APA clearly said.
He's going on.
So saying that, then the answer is yes, I'm agreeing with that statement.
You're agreeing that the APA would deem your testimony and your professional opinions rendered unethical.
I'm saying solely as an expert witness.
Oh, no.
That guideline is permitting that to
occur.
Jesus
Christ.
I would say then that the whole field of expert witness testimony,
which
you are quoting in the Goldwater, and we know that's not the case, because if it was, we would not be allowed to do it.
And you said the rule was for president, right?
That was issued for president.
And the name of the rule came from
what was president.
unethical for a psychiatrist to offer a professional opinion about an individual. That's right. Not just presidents, not public figures.
Ah, funny, it was named it. According to your laws, if you don't have some title, it's not true. That's what
Oh, my God. They're talking shit now. She's talking big shit.
Is it her again?
Yes.
Any court would have to render an expert witness testimony invalid. Any doctor that reviews charts would have to.
Oh, my God.
I keep on the list of docs that do not see or interview patients directly, and that's a violation. So basically,
unless
you do a direct clinical evaluation, then all of the field of forensic psychiatry and all of is unethical violation because we are not seeing the presence. We deny patients medications all the time without seeing them. We deny patients treatments, unfortunately, without seeing them. And
unfortunately.
The so the answer to your question, again, unless you
that
all of this
heard
is
about
unethical,
that.
Which is what you are saying. This is what you are
heard about that.
What you are saying. That unless you do the evaluation directly yourself, therefore, it could not be considered ethical. And I'm telling you how that's applicable to not just expert law, but also managed care. It applicable to multiple branches. Duration of hospitalization stays get evaluated. So tell me where you want me to end this.
Well,
can we
talk about
what?
So mad. I love this.
I didn't ask anything about that. I asked you whether under this medical
he's going to make him say it.
Have you acted unethically?
He's going to make him say it.
As an expert witness, I have not acted unethically. And if you want to
say as a psychiatrist,
that expert witnesses are unethical, then I guess that's for them to decide.
That's
for them to decide.
No, let's go to the next question. Right?
Okay.
Psychiatric diagnosis occurs in the context of evaluation on thorough history-taking examination.
Mm-hmm.
And where applicable, collating.
Johnny's so happy with his
collateral
face.
Information.
Yeah, fuck.
Would agree with that. I said that earlier.
Fuck.
And departure from the methods of the profession, render an opinion without an examination and without conducting an evaluation in accordance with standards of psychiatric practice. Correct? Well, again, by the way, intimate partner violence, not psychiatric diagnosis. I'll start with that. Substance usage by themselves is not psychiatric diagnosis. If you want to cut to the chase, psychiatry is not a diagnosis.
Uh-huh.
Narcissistic personality trait, not a diagnosis. Ergo, I am basically commenting on the things that were brought to me, which are not diagnosis, but an evaluation. If I was to treat a patient, or anyone, those are the steps I would take.
I think you started with the notion that this applies broader than diagnosis. It applies to professional opinion.
I believe you quoted
professional opinion.
Interrupt.
Relative to personality.
Again, just talking right over him.
You just commented on what it takes to do a psychiatric evaluation to establish a diagnosis. I'm almost certain that's what you said. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you didn't say that. But I'm
cheating. Bro, I love this.
And
this
therefore,
great.
What I'm saying is neither IPV nor substance usage nor narcissistic psychiatric diagnosis. And then under the rubric of expert witness testimony, you are saying I have to have under the rubric of expert witness testimony. So if you so would like to perceive that expert witnesses aren't ethical, based on that, I am not going to agree with you and with everyone, Tom. I think it's fairly obvious. But thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you.
These are the words. I'm just spaying them back out there.
Uh-oh.
Let's start with the question then.
Go ahead. You're going to have to answer the question.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay.
Like, calm down.
I'm not rendering any diagnosis.
I'm getting into it.
Whatsoever of Mr. Death.
I love this.
Today or ever.
This is great. He's Malden, yeah.
No, I probably would say to you that certainly I'm not saying now, certainly from what I have read, intimate partner violence is not a diagnosis. So the answer is no to that.
narcissistic personality traits is not a diagnosis for the interest. No. But if you want to tell me that substance use disorder is a psychiatric diagnosis, the answer is yes. And I...
But that wasn't an issue, was it? Whether Mr.
That substance...
It's gone through the record. That wasn't... Well, at least...
Yeah.
From day one.
Oh, she said during minutes of dying.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we know this.
Well, again, there's a difference between being to substance use and substance use disorder.
Let's go back to what that's about.
But again,
personality.
Is this disorder or diagnosis?
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what you're thinking?
Personality disorder is a DSM-5 diagnosis, correct?
Correct.
Diagnostic. And you haven't testified that.
That might be a scholar's black.
Personality disorder. Have.
I would certainly, if I didn't, I'm certainly thinking that, but at least I'm going to say it's traits, which are characteristics.
Downplay it.
It's a provisional diagnosis, probably narcissistic personality, but yeah, I do believe that.
Well, when you say provisional diagnosis, you know that DSM-5 requires, in order to find that diagnosis,
you have to talk to
five of the nine factors. And you haven't done that analysis. You've never made that diagnosis. You've just identified certain factors.
Oh, my God.
And our criteria for the diagnosis.
Right.
Yeah.
You need five of nine. I've already made a diagnosis.
Oh, my God.
You're just identifying traits, correct?
I'm identifying traits that are digested.
Huh?
And did you testify that the existence of traits as opposed to the disorder doesn't have a correlation?
If I said traits do not have a correlation, that's what I said, and I don't remember saying that wouldn't be a correct saying. Narcissism has a correlation with diagnosis. Yes, that part.
Or how far are we going to back this up? Because there's a diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder.
Diagnosis?
Right? And that one is tied, has some correlation with IPV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Narcissism has correlation with IPV. Again, you're not allowed to answer.
Oh, really?
I'm splitting hairs.
Here we go.
You're splitting hairs between...
The judge is going to have to come in soon.
Which is all I'm commenting on.
Yeah, they're getting mad.
Traits that are consistent with the diagnosis and Mr. Depp. Narcissism absolutely has risk factors associated with IPV.
Let's go back again, and maybe we can focus on the question I asked, and we can get an answer.
Yeah.
Narcissistic personality disorder is a risk factor. Previously testified that there is no literature, which you are currently aware, that the mere presence of narcissistic traits is a risk factor.
My answer to the question?
Yeah.
Or a cluster?
You didn't testify that.
A cluster?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Which narcissistic personality disorder is part of, is a huge risk factor.
Oh, my God.
To partner violence, which include, cluster B traits include narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, amongst others. So the answer to the question, every resource on intimate partner violence will support that cluster B traits, where narcissistic personality falls on their risk factor, intimate partner violence.
Any single trait is a risk factor for IPV.
Oh, God.
Again, I will...
Any single one.
Cluster B traits.
Oh, God.
I said cluster.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Let me be more
precise. Yeah, interrupt. Let's go.
Any narcissistic trait in and of itself is a risk factor for IPV.
He's going to make him say no.
But you are mischaracterizing what I said.
Of course
what
he is.
I'm pretty sure
he's the wizard destroyer.
If you look at all the
intimate
violence literature, I move you to do so.
Oh, God. How to get that in there.
Trait.
this day, narcissistic.
Oh my God.
Their B traits, where narcissistic personality disorder is part of, are risk factors. It's part of violence, part and parcel, uniformly true. And I'm not sure. The thing I don't understand is, I'm not sure we're arguing psychiatry. So I'm telling you what it is.
Dr. Steele, you just need to answer the question.
I told you she was going to have to come in soon.
So let's do that for a minute.
I told you she was getting revved up.
Personality disorder is a risk factor.
Yep.
Right? As part of us, Patricia. Rihanna, personality disorder. Factor. Right?
Uh-oh.
Less so. But it's less so. Less so. I mean, it's a risk factor, but less. Yeah. Less.
Significantly, he saw where he was going.
Under narcissism, before I move on, there's only been one diagnosis for personality, correct? I'm not sure. Are you referring to the depth? Is her? I'm not sure what you're talking about. There was a medical examination done of Ms. Hurd. Yes, it was ultimate that Ms. Hurd suffers from two personality disorders. I'm just speaking. I just wanted to know if you told about Ms. Hurd or Mr. Depp. So that was just
awesome. Okay.
That's enough. Like, which was his only one diagnosis of Ms. Hurd was diagnosed with that. Yeah. And both of the diagnoses are in cluster B. And both of them are risk factors for IPV. Both those cluster B things are
fucking cell reflex.
Therefore,
holy shit.
That must be true. I'll tell you what they are. And by the way, I testified.
Oh, my God.
I don't expect perfection from my victims. Two, I don't
expect perfection.
Absolutely.
Already conceding the loss.
Four, let's move on to a new question. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You
indicated in your view today, but, well, why don't we move a little to really. Are you a member of the American Medical Association?
No.
Okay, so you don't know what the ethical rule of the American Medical Association is relative to doing clinical diagnoses.
Oh, my God.
You're saying I'm turning into an expert witness evaluation. Under that rubric, right?
Uh-oh.
I'm just asking you, do you know the AMA's rule? You're saying AMA's ruling under the rubric of...
Oh, God.
And I'm questioning, I'm asking, so you are talking about expert testing. No, I'm talking about, do you know the rule? I'm not a member of the AMA, so I don't know.
Okay,
great.
Okay.
Fun. Don't know the rule.
Oh, my God, I love... Oh, my God, this is so good.
Reported cognitive impairment.
Yes. They're such assholes.
What do you use as a base? A baseline processing speed?
He doesn't know.
We're analyzing...
Yeah, he just dispelled one of his debuffs.
Before he was.
That was going on his buff.
What do you use a baseline for that? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my baseline would probably be how I've seen him interact in public. I have seen him interact with others. I've seen him interact and his process speed is certainly not slow. I've seen him do commercials.
Isn't that across the
whole
water
rule? Deposition, just saying that what you did was compare Mr. Depp's performance, lots of pirates against his deposition testimony. What I said was I've seen Mr. Depp.
Oh, no.
I mean, did apologize for that dog. It was owed to land processing.
Oh, no.
I seen him interact with the media regarding to that. I saw him land processing speed.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask about pirates. Compared pirates to the to the depositions and I apologize for that. I mean, you didn't make a comparison right now just a second ago?
Uh-oh.
Just a second ago? Uh-oh. I apologize.
You mean a medical diagnosis on a movie? I told you, man.
Here, pirate, the sworn testimony, right?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
But
wait, there's more.
At any time. I'm judging yours right now. You're judging mine. We all judge process at the baseline because of what we know about each other. I would say your process speed right now is not slow. So, I mean, we're judging process speed. I'm just saying to you.
Jesus Christ, these guys are such dickheads. This is amazing.
But trails.
Oh my God.
Only I've seen him interact on interviews.
He's partying on the show.
And he was.
The little assholes,
yeah. You see him in that movie, Charlie and Chocolate Factory?
He's looking at the judge. Like, save me. But I'm actually going to have to answer it.
Do I have to answer that question?
Yeah.
You have to answer the question.
No, you have to know. I didn't see Willy Wonka as a... As I didn't
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, no.
You made a very kind question, I think, early on in your death.
I'm loving this. This is amazing.
You're not claiming to be a better actor than Mr. Depp. That's correct, isn't it?
Right.
100%. When you start to acting, you know that actors actually rehearse parts and work on the language, action, timing of their dialogue as part of that rehearsal. If you say that's I'm not an actor.
I don't know.
I can't tell you.
What do you think?
Okay, but you don't know enough about acting to know whether actors rehearse. Sir, I am not an expert in acting. I have no idea.
Holy fuck.
Okay.
Holy fuck. Bro, this is... I don't feel bad for him either because he's an asshole.
During your deposition, what were the circumstances?
He probably doesn't even care.
Which decided to call Mr. Depp an idiot. Under somebody call Mr. Depp. I think the context was, and I'm trying to think back. Okay? And what I thought it was related to was coming to some deposition. Okay? And I got to think back. I bet you have it in front of you. I don't. So I'm thinking back where he's coming in from Europe for a deposition, video deposition that he gave, and he took it overnight the night before. And what I think I said was that if you're going to take a if you're going to do a major thing or a trial that you're involved with, I just think you'd be an idiot to come in the night before. Sure. So I didn't call Mr. Depp an idiot. I certainly called that plan an idiot. I didn't call him an idiot. Or mistranscribed? No, I'm sure. Again, if I said it in that kind, if you just one line, one spit, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
Bro, this guy
is... idiot of professional opinion. I wasn't right.
But it actually used to be.
That follows the Goldwater rule.
Oh, he's being a smart ass.
I said that. I'm not rendering a professional opinion.
Jesus Christ. This is amazing.
It's not professional opinion. Mm-hmm. Is it your practice to describe people as idiots? No, I don't describe people clinical, my clinical patients, idiots or victims as idiots. No, sir. That's the deposition in this case.
Sir, did he say you're fucked?
The plaintiff is an idiot, correct?
But that's...
You gave me 9 hours of deposition, and if I said the word idiot, it was an idiot plan. Was making him an idiot. I don't know Steph's IQ. I don't know his overall functioning. So therefore, if I said it, it was an idiot in planning, which is what I meant to come across that. You don't overall functioning. Wait, some test.
He did just say that. Oh my God.
Agree with me. Probably a good idiot. About the questions that are asked you before answering. Am I allowed to answer that question?
Yes.
Okay. So,
what I meant by function, what I said by function, I believe that his agent reported how late he was showing up to every movie while the cast was waiting for him. I believe that would be – if I showed up late for that, I would not be here right now. I would not have a job. Okay? I believe the thing was
– okay.
Fucking out of treatment or substance rehab that his doctor is prescribing for him. So if you're asking him to functioning, I would say I'm very much substantiated in that.
I'm trying to understand how you got to this notion of cognitive decline.
Oh, my God.
And I thought it was based,
bro,
at least in part on the manner in which he testified.
This is bad.
On the manner in which he testified.
This is fucking bad.
So I'm sorry. I'm not being difficult. I can't hear. I'm sorry. On what?
I was asking you about the cognitive decline.
Yes.
And it was my understanding that at least a portion of that testimony derived some evidence of cognitive decline from the way Mr. Depp testified.
Okay. All right. What was it?
Okay. And that's what I said. Yeah.
And so
good.
All I'm asking you is you – don't you think it's a good idea when you're in the middle of a court proceeding to answer questions carefully?
Again, professionally, we diagnose patients with a precognitive disorder, like gross evaluation.
Oh, my God.
On the thought that...
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, age, formative controls, not put a 58-year-old gentleman at that
this
process.
This is brutal.
All I'm saying. All I said. Survive this without ever once talking to him. Me directly talking to him. Because we know how I thrive. So you're telling him directly talking to him?
Yeah, you never talk.
No, I never. No, I've never talked.
Stop.
And this
wizard destroyed.
Damn you, Dave.
Damned.
Let's talk about Dr. Blouse, right?
Oh, my God.
And tired of Dr. Blouse being... medical records are 12 pages of...
The important part was what I said.
Uh-huh.
For me, as an example of cognition, which I'm trying to prove, which is what you asked me, the important part was what I said.
Uh-huh.
And that...
The important part is to give the mini mental status.
Sorry.
Let's talk about the mini mental status. Scored on a 30-point scale, right?
Yes.
And it's an exam that basically is most often used for Alzheimer's, dementia, those kind of testing.
Exam that tests cognition at all.
Uh-huh.
Not just
bad
me for dementia for Alzheimer's, but has been the standard for testing cognition in all psychiatric
illnesses. Uh-huh.
Now,
drop her chair off the man.
Now, with an
bad
exam that requires audit, correct?
Yes.
Now, what find Mr. Devin? Or whether the drawing should have been fully scored?
I wasn't questioning his visual or spatial perceptual skill. Which is what that does.
Right. And you don't know what score Mr. Death on.
I was very specific. I know three words, not remembering at 5 minutes. That's all I said.
Words, not remembering 5 minutes. Remember one of them. Right?
What I say is memory. Or not.
Memory. On the, out of the 30 points, what's it worth?
Three. Three, right?
Oh, God.
Memory is three out of this.
Oh.
Memory is three. Okay. But again, memory section in and of itself tests memory. The question that tests memory.
Oh, God.
Memory tests memory. Section you testified about. And for all you know, with respect to the exam,
you
got to score 27 out of...
Yeah, and that would be telling, though, cognitive, you scored 27-30 on memory. That would be very telling.
Has been up all night.
It's true. Again, you would expect to not recall any words in 3 minutes unless there's a cognitive issue.
Don't know if Mr. High
That's a good point. He got you.
That could affect memory, but I'm not refuting that.
He probably was high.
He could have been drunk. He could have been using cocaine, and that would happen.
Or all of the abuse.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you have no idea what state Mr. Depp was in at the time he took him the time. Short of what you just said about drugs and alcohol, okay, there shouldn't be a reason why 50-year-olds
are
cognitive. But short of that, there shouldn't be a really good reason why someone at that age shouldn't come up with at least one. But wait a minute, you started that question short of drugs and alcohol. Spent 35 minutes talking about his drugs and alcohol. Isn't that right?
Spell reflect.
I agree, but I think I agree. I said,
oh, my God.
Can absolutely affect cognition.
Oh,
no. I'm not sure. I agree, but I'm not sure if that's a...
Holy shit.
Is
it there anymore?
You don't know.
Because now they're arguing.
One way or the other.
Now he's mad.
How he scored on HDM, you don't know whether he was at the time on drugs or alcohol. But you rely on it. Testimony.
That does sound bad.
Which is what we do in clinical medicine.
Okay.
Rely on test. Don't know when it was administered. Don't know the score of the test. Don't know the of the person.
This is bad. He's getting into a corner.
And if we had to know every test, when people get the mini mental state exam,
oh my God,
clinically, if they are high, wasted, stoned, stroke,
holy
no
shit,
idea. So if you're going to say that, that means everybody needs a drug test before they do a mini mental study, and that's not the standard of care. And I think you know that. So
I think there it is. He's mad.
Let's talk.
Here we go. It's not over.
Using correlation.
Uh-oh.
You know the word, right?
Yes.
Correlation and causation are the causation directly. Correlation is a risk for something happening. Causation is a direct link. So just because something's correlated doesn't mean it's going to happen. 100%.
Ah,
100%.
Ah.
Lung cancer. Be highly correlated. Right? And certainly, and there's certainly a link to lung cancer and smoke.
Not all smoke get lung
cancer. True.
Not all smoke. No one, like I said, no one fits the curve perfect.
Right. And
the wizard's getting into a corner.
Testimony and to.
Oh, no.
All of us do this. All of us do that.
Oh, no.
Your suggestion about all of us, you're just looking at and not at any particular individual, correct? What I'm looking at is that I am not talking about it. How they can or cannot be resistant. What I'm saying is, invariably, when you use substances, is to have. Now, is there a 0.05% chance
there's
of someone who does?
He's all like,
is that medical degree of certainty?
Bro, he's getting mad.
I'm developing symptoms. If you're using excessively,
develop. Balding, yep.
But risk factors tell us nothing about any one particular individual. Do they, sir?
No.
Again, risk factors tell us nothing except that they have it and a higher likelihood of developing it. That's
right.
What it
is. Bad.
But you did a whole litany of risk factors relative to IPV. And none of those risk factors tell us specific about an individual. Other than they're at higher risk. Right.
Yes.
So someone could have every single risk factor for IPV and never commit IPV, right?
That's true.
It would be, again, if you're going to say medical probability, the answer is they will. But if you're saying uniformly, the answer is,
well, they will. Medical
IPV can occur without touch. Oh, sure. Someone can abuse touch without ever perpetrating IPV. Again, absolutely. But, again, you are saying, different than what I said, I did not say abusing substance. I said substance use disorder. Those are two different things, because there are surely people who use substances that do not engage in any violence, not become psychotic.
Oh, my God.
So that's equally true of people who have substance abuse disorder. There are certainly people who have substance disorder who don't commit IPV, correct? They are saying people have substance use disorders, the majority of them, over 50% do. Over 50% do. So
the answer is...
Yes, as you said, not everyone who smokes gets
it. Holy shit.
There are.
Holy fucking shit.
So you'd say 40% of the people who have substance abuse disorder don't commit IPV, and those are the ones that do not have.
That's a lot.
Right?
That's a lot.
Wait a minute. Isn't substance abuse disorder and IPV risk factors?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. These are other people that don't have other risk factors.
Hmm.
But again, we're talking about people who don't know anything about any particular individual, whether anybody's going to die. If statistics follow through, all we can say is more than 50%, 70% will, if you combine more risk factors you have, more likely you're going to develop the illness. You smoke cancer or you don't.
God.
If you smoke.
Trying to use the statistics.
You either commit IPV or you didn't.
That either could be it.
Right. So you took an issue with me because I was asked about substance abuse generally.
Oh, now it's getting personal.
And
okay, here we go.
About the disorder. I asked you earlier about narcissistic personality. I haven't made that diagnosis. You just talked about the traits, right?
Yes.
And somebody have these narcissistic personality traits and substance abuse disorder and never commit IPV, right?
True.
So, along that line, right. about 80-90% of the people who commit IPV have a personality disorder. So the answer is less than about 10%, possibly not.
10%, if you compare about the amount of people that have the disorder that commit IPV, it's deliberately disingenuous.
Close links with IPV. Personality disorder.
Nice try.
Disorder. Correct, sir? I'm not going to agree
with
that. No, I'm not saying there are. I would say there are absolute. If you're asking, there are. The answer is absolute. If you're saying to me, or I can show stuff, but yes, no such. That has not been absolutely definitively correlated. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And now what? Getting nervous now. This babe, bro, he's nervous. He's fucking trash. He's straight pissed.
MDMA.
Oh.
What is it?
What is it?
Ecstasy. And what's the normal dosage of ecstasy for people who... I couldn't tell you if you caught it. Because honestly speaking, no one knows what they're getting when they're using it, right? It's not regulated, so.
But the effects of ecstasy enhance sense of well-being.
Yeah.
So continued use at higher doses, MDMA can be safe, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
What if you took 8 to 10 tablets of it?
All right, we're going to pause that and stop it right there because you really don't need this. Oh, my God. Amber Heard's court case and her witnesses are just terrible. Folks, this is a prime example of witnesses who are screwed when they walk in there. And this guy is a prime example of the worst witness you should ever have on a stand. I'm going to tell you why. Because number one, getting angry, getting frustrated, showing those signs to a lawyer is like showing blood to a shark. I mean, this guy was doomed as soon as he started. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he has some issues with his medical license now. I mean, here's a guy basically who based his opinion, his medical opinion or expert opinion, whatever you want to call it, on just evaluating what Johnny Depp was doing in the news media, in his movies, and that's what he was basing it on. That's what he was basing that Johnny Depp was a threat. Johnny Depp was a druggie at the time. He was basing it on movies. I mean, this doctor has no clue, what kind of shit he stirred up. Remember, I mean, you got to think, he never evaluated Johnny Depp. So that's a problem, because any doctor who evaluates somebody just based on a movie or news media coverage, it's wrong without evaluating the person in their office or in person, basically. So this doctor is definitely done. You can stick a fork in him. He's done. And everything he did proves that he was probably lying. Oh, I can guarantee he was lying a lot. And he knew that he was in the situation and he couldn't come out of it. He was backed into a corner and he come out swinging and he failed. The other audio we heard from the other doctor, same thing applies. He started getting angry, started getting frustrated, started losing the whole cross-examination testimony before it even started. And then you have the infamous woman who is the expert in entertainment. Now, the one thing we didn't play, and that's fine, you can go back and watch it on video if you want to, is that Johnny Depp's lawyers cross-examined her. And one of the things you did not hear is that they were mentioning actors and actresses where she says that she's an expert in knowing how the outcome of these actors and actresses are going to be, whenever they get bad publicity, how they fail, how they lose money. And that's what she was trying to say about Amber Heard, that Amber Heard was losing a lot because of this shit that's happening in the trial and so forth. However, when cross-examined by the lawyer of Johnny Depp's team, they asked her about actors and actresses. And what they were doing is, if you go back and watch the video, trust me, you can see this. They were clearly trying to see how much of an expert she truly was about knowing actors and actresses and their portrayals in movies. And she was mentioned, and so the lawyer mentioned, like, did she know who James T. Kirk was in Star Trek? She said she was not a Star Trek fan, so she did not know nothing about James T. Kirk, okay? Which was really kind of crazy because everybody knows who James T. Kirk is, right? We all know who that is. They said Chris Pratt played James T. Kirk, and she said she wasn't familiar with that. She wasn't familiar with him. And they were trying to compare this into how they became in a stardom and how they made their money. And when they would get serious increases in money, how they were becoming very popular. And so they brought up the point of Batman, and I thought that was funny because Batman, you know, was played by so many different people, you know, Michael Keaton, Adam West, Christian Bale, played by, you know, these people. And going through the process of it, you know, this is what the lawyer's asking her, do you know Batman? And, well, she knew it. But when they got to Robert Pattinson, she's like, I don't know who he is. So she didn't know who Robert Pattinson was. She did not know the other actors and actresses who were playing in Aquaman. She had no clue about them. Did not know that, and this was the funny part, that she said Amber Heard was playing a part in Blade Runner, and that's how she received her money, because she was playing one of the parts in Blade Runner. But the lawyer said she did not play in Blade Runner, and that is true. She was only on a billboard sign, nude, in Blade Runner. That's what she was in, man. And this expert thought she knew it all. And she kept going over and over when she was on the stand about how great of a person she is, how she's an expert in the field, and blah, blah, blah. And Johnny Depp's lawyers tore her apart and destroyed her, man. I mean, they destroyed her as well. So everything that these idiots were doing was just terrible. And it just goes to show you that Amber Heard's lawyers are picking all these witnesses that cannot give any information, or giving too much information is a sideshow and stupidity. And that's what we're dealing with the Amber Heard case here. So her side's not looking good. Her lawyers look like fucking idiots. And it's getting worse. And the more and more they continue to do this, the worse it is. Luckily, for our sake, they only got 4 hours left. They have 4 hours left for witnesses and so forth. That'll probably be done by tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for that, because I don't know how much I can take of a sideshow circus of the Amber Heard court case here. And then Johnny Depp will have 15 hours on their side to come out and do 15 hours. Now, we're looking probably in the next 2 days they're going to do their final everything's going to be finalized within those days, and hopefully they will deliberate with the jury probably by Friday or by Monday of next week, and then we'll find out who's going to win this case, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, if I had $1 million, I'd bet $1 million on Johnny Depp winning this trial. And when that happens, hopefully, you know, he can get back to normal. You know, it's going to take a lot to build up his character. Amber Heard, or Amber Turd, I believe, is going to be really destroyed. I think her career is over. The only thing she's going to be good at is giving out good blowjobs and screwing all the people that she can find, like Elon Musk again and all of them, because she has no future. Her future is pretty much, I would say, it's probably done point. So, you know, a little hand job here and there, she might be able to make a quick buck. You might see her on Hollywood Boulevard down there, you know, giving out some favors, you know, for some money, because she's going to have to do a few tricks to get some money there, because she's done. And she will be crying on this. She's going to come out and tell people all kinds of shit. But people are done with this woman. And people that did not know, like myself, did not know Amber Heard, we have all come to the conclusion that watching her in the trial and everything else, that we have learned that she is a fucking nut. I mean, she has totally lost her damn mind. And it made me realize how much she's just destroyed. And I think that, well, I do know that it's going to get worse, because they're going to have more shit going on that is happening here. And I think that we need to be really prepared for, you know, some of the other shit that's coming around the corner. This is all Amber Heard being upset because she lost. And she knows she's losing. She knows really quickly she's losing. You know, as clear as day, she knows that she is losing all this stuff because she's not doing, you know, she's falling apart. And so they have put out petitions, by the way, to replace Amber Heard from Aquaman 2, which, by the way, she is gone from there now. She'll never have a career in that anymore either. But they're putting a petition to replace ex-Amber Heard with Blake Lively and Aquaman 2. I think that would be pretty cool, actually. Yeah, I think it would be pretty interesting to see that, you know, that kind of stuff, because I think that, you know, when you get into, you know, some of the stuff that's there. So that, you know, that, and this is kind of stuff that they're putting out there. But like I said, if you look at all the social media, I think it's great watching them really tear up Amber Heard on this, because everybody's done with it, like I said, and it's over for her. Her career is totally done. And not only that, her career is done, but it's going to, you know, that I think that we're going to see a lot. It won't be the last time that we see. It won't be the last time we see Amber Heard out there. But she will be out in the news media. She'll be very upset when she loses. And, you know, some people have been speculating between Johnny Depp and his female lawyer, Camille, that, you know, they're having some kind of a fair thing going on or whatever. Me personally, I think if they did, it doesn't matter. Actually, the girl's really beautiful. So if they were doing something, at least, you know, hey, let them do it. You know, I mean, Johnny Depp's probably looking for a new female anyway. I mean, he had to go through that stupid bullshit with Amber Heard. So right now he probably would look for somebody that would be more respectful towards him. But the Amber Heard fans, the Amber Heard supporters, you know, you guys got to realize, unfortunately, I know you think that Johnny Depp was this horrible man and everything, but, you know, like the rest of us, we can truly see the crazy bullshit that has happened with, you know, with Amber Heard and what she's done. I truly believe that the mentality that she has is very much a psychopathic, narcissistic, crazy person. And about 90% of America and 90% of the world, I should say, believes that too, that we're finished with her, right? We're done. We can't wait for this trial to be over and let Johnny win and let them be able to move on and let him have a rebuild of his life back, because it's going to take a while. And that's what's going to happen. All right, so that was the show. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. I know we had a lot of great information out here. We will always cover each and every day with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial or defamation case. And we hope that you will join us again right here on Politics. Paula has been off due to some situations that's been going on. And so I've been covering the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. That's my main area, is to cover that. To give everybody updates on that. And I want to give you as many updates as possible. So please join us right here as we cover this whole thing again and again, because you never know what's going to come up with Amber Heard and her attorneys. In 2 minutes, you can see Amber Heard and her attorneys jumping up and doing something crazy and stupid again. I'm always looking for what is coming around the corner, you know what I mean? Because she definitely, I mean, whoever is prepping these people, you really suck at it, man. And I'm sure that it's going to be a really bad time in the next few days for the Amber Heard community there. And I'm sure everybody's going to be crying about it. And you know what, Amber? You know, when you were sitting there in your pantsuit, everybody was watching you sit there. We were all going, hey, Amber, what was that thing between your legs that was showing? And so I'm dedicating this last song as we close out the show to Amber Heard. I'd like to thank Osmond Gold for the YouTube channel. You can always click on YouTube, go to Osmond Gold, and you can watch the trial while he commentates it. So it's really cool, and he's a really good guy. Join him tomorrow. He does it live, so that's what's really cool. And the court case will start back again, and it'll be back in session at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will all be watching, including to the TV, trust me, as we hear more and more of the stupidity of the Amber Turd court case, right? So check it out, and we'll probably be back in the next day or two to give you some more updates. So join us right here on Politics. If you would like to email us, you're more than welcome to email us questions, comments, concerns, opinions. It is Politics. That's PaulaTics live, LIVE, at gmail.com. All right, everybody, take care. God bless you, and have a good day, and remember to stay safe out there. God bless our military. God bless America. God bless the police, the firefighters, and everyone that's out there that serves our great community, and especially you. We love each and every one of you that supports our show. Have a good night, everybody. Here's the song for Amber Turd as we finally figured out what that thing was that she had between her legs in the pantsuit, and we found it out, and here's what it is.
You're a beautiful girl. And your pants are on so tight that when you stand just right, I can see it all. When you're on the beach and your bikini's soaking wet, I see a fuzzy silhouette as I look down below. I see your camel toe. Your beavage, I see your pooter cleavage. Your monkey, your muffin, you ain't having nothing. Your Gucci, your flapper, you're showing off your snapper. Your camel toe, it looks alright. Baby, let it show. Looks like a big taco. I see your camel toe.
Merci, madame, voila les bearded clowns.
I could really go for a sideways sloppy joe or a tuna casserole, baby, don't you know? I never thought I'd see so much of your anatomy. Your jeans are so tight, I'm learning gynecology. I see your camel toes.
Your labia, your vulva, ooh, you know I love ya. Your vagina, vagina, nothing could be finer. It's furry, it's fluffy, looking kinda puffy.
Your camel toe, it looks alright, so baby let it show. Looks like a big taco.
Voila les bearded clowns. Your biscuits, your beavage, I see your pooter cleavage. Your monkey, your muffin, you ain't adding nothing. Your Gucci, your flapper, you're showing off your snapper.
Your camel toe, it looks alright, so baby let it show. Looks like a big taco, I see your camel toe.
Oh, yeah, the song that was going out to Amber Turd. There you go, girl. As you know, we always have to try to play a song for you because we really do care for you. Not. Well, you know, Amber Turd likes to, you know, go out and screw everybody, right? She's pretty much screwed everybody to the top, including Elon Musk, James Franco, Johnny Depp, and she's even tried to take off her clothes to Kevin Costner, and he said, fuck no, is what he said. But she has been around the block 20,000 times, and this is actually a song for her again. Oh, my God.
She walks like she's